Chapter 11. Mika's Lesson.
"So she ain't mad?" Selin asks again from the bed. "Said she was proud of us," I say. And I believe it. I don't know how long I cried for, but Grandmum's talk left me feeling better when it was done. Selin shifts on her stomach, unable to sit or lie on her stripped backside. "Got a funny way of showing it. A sore bottom will soon be the least of your worries, Selin Vargarad." We both look up, startled at Mika's sudden appearance. Where did she come from? "Need to start barring that door," I mutter. "No bar can stop me, sister," Mika says. "What makes you so special?" I ask. Mika holds out a hand, helping Selin to her feet. "That is what I am here to teach you. Come with me. I have permission to escort you from your chambers." "I can barely walk," Selin groans. "Psst!" Misha's hiss is dismissive. "Your honoured father did not so much as break the skin. Pain is only wind. Bend and let it pass over you." I start for the door, but Mika moves deeper into the chambers instead, coming to a wall with a coloured mosaic ward circle. Mika presses one of the stones, and it sinks into the pattern with a barely audible click, as she presses another, then a third. "No magic here, just hidden mechanics," allowing Mika to push the entire wall inward. It swings silently back, revealing a darkened stairway. Selin gapes. "That's been here the whole time." "Of course." I hide my sudden fear, but make no effort to hide the anger in my voice. "Everything else we know is a lie. Why should my own rooms be any different?" Nevertheless, there is an excited tension in my muscles as we descend the secret stair. A fortress in itself, the Underkeep holds stores enough to last months of siege and protects warded tunnels leading to other parts of the capital. But I don't recognize the section Mika takes us to. "I grew up in a place much like this." Mika leads us down a dark stone corridor to a heavy goldwood door reinforced with steel. It is fitting that I show it to you now. We enter a large circular room with a high domed ceiling supported by wooden beams. As Mika closes the door, dim lamps cast flickering light on dozens of weapons hung from the wall. Spears and shields, bows and staves, scythes, chains and throwing glass all artfully arranged. I can smell the oil, see the sharp points and weighted bludgeons, and I know these are no mere decorations. At the centre of the room, concentric circles of wards are drawn on the polished wood floor. There is a resounding thump as Mika drops the bar to the door. Selin was staring with similar wide eyes, but now our attention is drawn back to my sister. Mika lowers her veil, letting me see her face for the first time since the tour. Her brow is a hard line. "Course you're in trouble." I remember Grandmum's words and Selin's thrashing. Is it my turn? Mother would never sully her hands with violence, and I can't imagine Wanda doing it. Is Mika here as her hand? My spear sisters and I were not allowed to speak in our training room. Mika's hands make an intricate series of gestures to accompany her words. Master Enkidu had no tongue and spoke only with his fingers. In time, you will learn to speak that way as well. Until then, you will be silent in this place. Selin and I glance at each other, but Mika claps her hands, startling us. Do not look at each other when I am talking to you. She holds out a fist, nodding it like a head. This means yes. Do you understand? I raise a fist, nodding it, and my head. Out of the corner of my eye, I see Selen do the same. Mika strides toward me, untying the silk belt of her loose black robe. You were less than 4 summers when a Nanji watcher made it as far as your bedchamber. He was caught by surprise when your nursemaid fought back. But he was skilled, and still managed to give me this. She tugs back the cloth, baring a breast to show me a raised scar running across her ribs. I was forced to kill him before he could be put to the question. To this day, we are not sure who sent him. I blink, not knowing what to say. Watchers were legendary warriors, trained in stealth and special weapons, spies and assassins. If one was in my room, I shiver in fear. Mika holds my gaze for a long breath, then steps away to slip off her sandals and lay them by the door. Her silk robe falls quickly once she drops it from her shoulders. It thumps as it hits the floor, no doubt weighted with the armored plates Krasian warriors secrete in their battle robes. Without its formless bulk, my sister is lithe and muscular, a graceful dancer with an acrobat's build. Mika unties her head wrap, spooling the black silk onto her hand with a swift, practiced motion. She ties off the roll and lays it in a cubby on the wall. She folds the robe in quick, efficient motions that muffle any sound of the plates, tying it with her belt to lay in the cubby. Mika is beautiful. Her black hair long and thick, the kind that draws appreciative looks from all sides. But I've never seen her wear it down. No sooner does she shake it free than she begins dividing and braiding. Remove your dresses. Selen and I do not look at each other as we comply, undressing and slipping into tan Sharusark practice robes folded with the same ritual precision in wall cubbies on our side of the room. Wordlessly, we begin braiding our hair as well. Mika wears only her bido, a long length of black silk wrapped in a precise pattern over and through her legs, and a similar binding for her breasts. My eyes drift to the textured burn on her toned left leg. It is faded, but does not look like it will ever heal completely. I remember the night she got it. I was 7, and woke in the middle of the night to a room full of smoke. I sat there, frozen, terrified, not knowing what to do. Then Mika burst in, robe torn and smouldering, covered in soot and ash. She scooped me up like a toddler and went to Selen next, effortlessly carrying us down to the safety of the underkeep while the house guard pumped water through the windows. The fire. I am so caught in the memory, I forget my promise not to speak. Was not caused by a maid knocking over a lamp, Misha growls. Perhaps realizing they could not get close, the next watcher decided to simply set fire to an entire wing of your mother's keep. I captured him, but he poisoned himself rather than be put to the question. The cold tone makes me fear the lengths my sister might go to for answers. Who is this woman? Did I take her so for granted that I never knew her at all? Mika strides to the center of the practice circle. My horror grows with each scar I glimpse on her skin, each no doubt with its own story. How many times has Mika saved my life while I flitted about sewing silks and lace or fretted over herb lore? Mika kneels, back rigidly straight, head high, meeting my eyes. I was born Mika Va'aman Amjadir Amkaji, Sharumting Spear Sister. When news reached Krasia of your birth, the Damaja sent me to Hollow to be your guardian and teach you to defend yourself. Mika leans forward, placing her hands on the floor, and drops her eyes. I have failed in both regards. For that, I apologize. Your mother did not trust me at first, and preferred Captain Wanda to instruct you. Why didn't she trust you? I see now that I owe my sister more respect than I have given. But the question is too important to keep silent. I have to know. Mika rolls back to sit on her ankles, lifting her head and meeting my eyes once more. She believed I was the Demaja's creature. Were you? I ask. Mika nodded. Of course. But I made an oath to your mother, and I have kept it ever since. Do you miss your home? Selen asks. Once, but no longer. When I married Kendall, I became Hollow Tribe. I am Mika Amholo now, and I would not wish to return to Krasia. Wives without a husband to give them children are not looked upon well there. What about your family? I ask. Mika shrugs. My mother is the least of father's many wives. She is a glorified servant in the palace, and it pains me to see it so. Father taught my brothers to fight and to ride, but had little time for his daughters. He didn't even question it when I went into training and did not see him for years. Mika flows smoothly back to her feet. And now it is your turn, sister. None can deny that Wanda Varflin is a great warrior, but she held you in your birthing blood and could not bring herself to impose the discipline a true warrior needs. Mika assumes a Sharusakt stance. But now the enemy has touched you and found you wanting. She points to Selen, then a spot outside the ring. Kneel and be silent. Selen does as she's told, kneeling as Mika beckons me with a curled finger. I am wary as I move to face her, taking a Sharusakt pose of my own. Words slip from my lips before I can catch them. Mika, I'm sorry. You will be, Mika promises. And you will remember the lesson. I've practiced Sharusakt for as long as I can remember. It is required learning at Gatherer's University, a slow series of movements that can become deadly when applied with knowledge, force, and will. Many of the women who practice the art do not even see it as a weapon. It is a time of peaceful meditation, separate from the conflicts of the day. Mika prefers a more practical approach. She starts slowly, with grabs and punches she knows I can block or avoid. I am not naive enough to encounter these probing blows. She will seize the limb if I do, turning the strength of my attack into the force that takes me down. Every time I avoid a blow, the next comes faster. I parry a punch, and another follows so quickly I barely catch it on my folded arm. The muscle absorbs the impact, but the blow stings, and I realize Mika isn't pulling her punches. If I hadn't blocked in time, she might have broken my jaw. I recover, but not fast enough to avoid her push kick. Her heel connects solidly with my midsection, blowing the breath from my lungs and folding me in half as I'm knocked to the hardwood floor. Selen or Wanda would step back after such a blow, giving me a chance to recover and consider my mistake. Not Mika. Your mother could have united the free cities of Theza and become queen. She gave up a throne to protect you. I barely roll aside in time to avoid a stomp of her heel that would have cracked ribs. The words hit just as hard. Could it be true? Did Mother give up rule to protect me? Why? Wanda Varflin could have been a general in the greatest army the world has ever seen. Mika kicks down again. I catch it on my forearms and push back, but she's ready and pulls away before I can throw her off balance. And me? Mika growls as I take the opportunity to scramble to my feet, fists up to cover my head. My name is struck from the histories, my deeds forgotten, all to protect you. She comes in fast, jabbing stiffened fingers into my ribs. A punch I might have shrugged off, but her fingers thrust into a convergence point, sending a shock of muscle-seizing pain convulsing through me. Dharma Ting Fava taught me there are convergence points on every living thing, places where their energy flows connect. Increasing or decreasing pressure on those convergences can cause disruptions that ripple through the entire body. But we studied them for healing, not to strike. I am horrified at the idea. Such blows could cripple or even kill. When the fight began, I was resigned. I deserved it. But this? How dare she? I am her sister, the Princess of Hollow, not some enemy assassin. I bull forward, trying to force Mika back, but she stops me short with a stiffened arm and then drives the heel of her hand into the convergence point on my forehead. And you don't even care. I've never been purposely hit so hard. The impact resounds in my head, light blossoming across my eyes like festival flamework. I hit the floor hard, trying not to black out. Get up, Mika growls. Dodges and parries are less important than learning to recover when struck. My vision spins, and I struggle to find a focal point in the featureless room. At last, I find Selen, fists clenched as she kneels outside the circle. She looks ready to leap in to defend me, but we both know that would be a mistake. She might last a few moments longer than I, but in the end, we'd both be bloody on the floor. Get up! Mika delivers a short, stabbing kick that makes my stomach seize. I taste vomit in my mouth and swallow it back down. One day, I will not be there to protect you, sister. Will you lie down and die? The derision in her voice strikes harder than her kicks and punches. What was I apologizing for? Not knowing secrets she made an enormous effort to keep from me? Wanting a life of my own? Already I can feel my face swelling and wonder what it's going to look like later. Paints and powders might cover a bruise, but they won't cover this. What will people say? I grit my teeth and push off the floor. Mika sweeps my legs from under me before I can set my feet. Her open-handed blow doubles the impact as I strike the floor again. Human or Alagai, assassins will come for you again. Mika stands over me. When they do, you must be prepared. She kicks me in the side, knocking spittle from my mouth as I'm flipped onto my stomach. And that only comes from experience. She takes my wrist from behind, torquing it back as she puts a foot on my spine, pinning me in place. Pain screams up my arm, and I know she can break it with little effort. I struggle, though it is futile to resist such leverage. And yet, I do. I pull in an angry breath, and new strength floods my limbs. Against all reason, I twist onto my back, yanking Mika down to my level. The left hook I throw is close and awkward, but it connects solidly. For once, Mika is caught by surprise and knocked away. I roll to my feet and set my stance as realization comes to me. I'm stronger than she is. Mika recovers quickly, and a smile, low and dangerous, crosses her face. There it is. Show me, princess. She sweeps back in, kicking and punching, throwing elbows and knees, always ready to catch my return blows and use them against me. I know I should be afraid, but I am too angry to care. For once, I don't pull my punches, moving with more strength and speed than I've ever dared reveal in the practice yard. Mika snatches at the blows, but they are too fast, my guard too tight. I catch or dodge more of her blows than not, and barely feel those that get through. Mika's face is expressionless, but there is a tightness around her eyes, a bead of sweat on her normally impeccable brow. She's barely in time to parry my next punch, and for a moment, there's an opening. My kick is a perfect pivot onto the ball of my left foot, right shin flying for Mika's temple with everything I have. I know, even before it connects, that the fight is over, and somehow, against all odds, I have won. If Mika wants respect, she'll have to give it in return. But at the last moment, Mika drops beneath the kick, catching the limb. I realize, as she uses my own force to throw me to the ground, that opening, her vulnerability, was all a ruse. She punches raised knuckles into my shoulder joint and my arm goes numb. Another blow to my hip and my leg buckles, dropping me to one knee as I struggle to rise. I lash out and strike her across the face with an open blow from my other hand, but she locks onto the wrist before I can retract it, twisting my arm in ways nature never intended. She rolls and puts a knee into my throat, scowling as she increases the pressure. I realize how arrogant I have been, even after seeing Mika fight against the demons. I might force a bead of sweat, but she was always going to win this fight. The Sharusark my master learned from the Dharma Ting is called Precise Strike, Mika says quietly. Your mother forbade me from teaching it, for it uses the healer's art to harm. Darkness creeps in at the edges of my vision, and my sudden, unnatural strength withers like an unwatered vine. I can't breathe, and my face swells until it feels ready to burst. I kick my feet helplessly, pulling at the knee in my throat with fingers fast going numb. But the female fighting forms are powerful, Princess. I will attempt to teach them in our lessons here, though you and Selen have ever been blunter instruments. Passing out, I slap her knee in submission, but Mika does not relent. Know that I do this with love, sister. Enough! I hear Selen shout. You've made your point! Mika releases me. I fall limply to the wooden floor as the blackness closes in. At last you find your voice, Selen Var Garad, Mika congratulates from far away. You want to protect your niece? Come show me your mettle. As my eyes slip closed, I see Selen's feet as she steps into the ring. I blink and open my eyes to find Selen lying next to me. She looks so peaceful, I would think her asleep, if not for her blackening eyes and fat, bloodied lip. My own eye is so swollen, I can barely open it. Mika kneels next to us, eyes closed, breathing slow and even. You wake quickly, she says, without so much as cracking an eye. You are strong, sister. You will be a formidable weapon when I am through with you. The compliment makes me prouder than I will admit, but it does not cool my anger. I don't want to be a weapon. Mika shrugs. Neither did I, but it was in Evera. Her eyes open now, and she meets my gaze. You and Selen conspired to poison me. I could claim blood debt, but we have shed demon ichor together in Alagai Sharak. I am your Ajinpal now, your blood sister. If we were not as siblings before, let us be so now. I will coddle you no longer. She holds an open hand to me, and I look at it, incredulous. You beat me unconscious and expect me to take your hand. I offer you a warrior's trust, Mika says, if you have the courage to accept it. She snorts. But if you think me cruel, wait until you see what your mother has planned.